In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Two widows, two dead sons, two devastated mothers. The first, the widow of Zarephath, the second, the widow of Nain. Our culture seeks to avoid suffering at all costs, so we don't like to talk about death, look at death, or deal with death, because there is no greater suffering than losing a loved one. Death leaves behind a wake of destruction and devastation. Hearts are broken, dreams crushed, mindsets altered. Reality sets in. We spend years trying to run from it. We claim we are living, but I wonder if a more apt description of our earthly existence is we are dying. The reality is, death will come. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but it will come. It doesn't care how useful you are to your family, to society, to friends. It doesn't matter how important you are. Both women were widows. Both lost their husbands. And death came back for more to take their son. So the culmination of your hard work is a grave. Your reward for a job well done is a bed of dirt. You work hard to sustain your life and the lives of others. But it's a losing battle, for death saps every last bit of your energy and strength, no matter what you've built up, how loving, kind, generous, and gracious you were. Death always wins. It always destroys, it always hurts. So consider a considerable crowd followed the woman at Nain. They mourned with her. They felt sorry for her, but they could not help her. Out they walked to pay their respects and offer their condolences, while the widow remained broken and alone, a shell of her former self. Death had struck twice. First her husband, now her son. It's tough to live in that reality. It's much easier to ignore it, to throw it in a hospital or a crematory. It's tough to have a funeral. It's tough to look at lifelessness. It's much easier to have a celebration of life. It's tough to recognize that death will come to us. That person in that grave will someday be us. It's much easier to live in our own minds. Death comes because we have sinned. From the moment of conception, we are headed toward it. Our toddler temper tantrums, our youthful rebellion, our young adult arrogance, our aged pessimism reveals that we are dying. Our sins speed its coming. For if you did not sin, then death would never come. If you were not a sinner, then you would live forever. But you have sinned. And so death is coming, whether you think about it or not, whether you're scared of it or not. How devastating then is anger? How damaging our lust, our greed, our selfishness. With our mouths, we show ourselves to be children of death. With our minds, we reveal our destiny. The wages of sin is death. It's what we deserve. It takes us by force. It grabs and holds on to us. Even if we are kicking and screaming, it will not let go, but it will drag us down into the grave. So we'd rather not talk about it. We'd rather have pastors speak about encouragements on how to live better. And there is a time and place for that. But today, the scriptures hold death in front of our eyes. There is also a time and a place to talk about it. So we need to know how to think about death. We also must know how to die. Understand this, when we ignore death, we also ignore the Savior from death. When we refuse to speak about it, then we also refuse to speak about the Lord who conquered it for us. Because of our sins, we deserve it, but still Christ's heart goes out to us. The Lord saw the widow and had compassion on her. His heart broke over her tears. He did not create her son to die. He did not create this woman to know pain. He hates to see her like this. "Do not weep," he said. You don't say this to a grieving mother, but he can, because it's as if he said, "Do not weep, for I am the resurrection and the life. A soft word from his divine lips, and then a gentle touch, and what seemed unstoppable stops dead in its tracks. Death cannot advance past him. It's not a forceful grab, but a gentle touch filled with truth and life, and the men stood still. They must, for he alone is the king. A gentle touch, then again followed by a soft word. Young man, I say to you, arise. Life enters that young man's body, courses through his veins and fills his lungs. Now tears of joy flow. Now songs of gladness are sung. Now the briar is burned. There's no use for it anymore. Death is conquered. A gentle touch and a soft word. The king fights in weakness and humility. Riding on a colt to the foal of a donkey, he comes to battle death once more. He's not impressive. No technological advancements, no shining armor, glistening sword, or nuclear warheads, but a naked and bleeding man and a rugged cross. He does not take the bull by the horns, as it were. No forceful grab. But it looks like he is the one who is forcefully grabbed. A gentle touch of our curse, our sins, and our cross. No booming voice, but a soft cry. It is finished. In meekness, the conqueror battles, and in meekness, he overcomes. He touches your grave. Gently, the only Son of the Father enters death to sanctify your grave and make it a restful place of slumber, to rip open death's belly on the third day and set you free. Death's relentless march has stopped. Christ stands in the way. He rose and left death mortally wounded. So with a gentle touch and a soft word, the king continues his compassionate march toward you. He is not flashy or exciting. He doesn't use the latest technologies, but he is gentle and humble in heart. He does not forcefully grab your arm to drag you where you need to go, but he gently touches your lips. And then, no booming voice, but a soft word, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. And you are set free from death. It cannot claim you, have you, or own you, for the Lord stands between you and it, a crucified and risen Lord. He saved you from death and made you his own. The resurrection is coming. So blessed are those who die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labors. Until that day, though, we still mourn and grieve and cry. Death is our enemy. But we are not without hope. We confess that our sins made death a reality, but we also believe the Lord atoned for our sins and destroyed death for us. So we will not fear it. And we will not fear the process of dying either, for we believe in the resurrection of the dead. And neither will we fear the viruses, diseases, ailments, or potential accidents that may come. For we believe in the resurrection of the dead. We view all things through Christ who redeemed us. In him we are not dying, but we are living. In fact, we are flourishing, even in our last hours of life on this earth. Because those who are in Christ have already been crucified with Christ in the waters of holy baptism and raised with him through the same. Though physical death may come, it is nothing more than a sleep. For Christ will come and wake us up with his mighty booming voice. And the dead in Christ shall rise. So yes, at times we do talk about death. For whenever we speak or think or hear about it, we remember our crucified Lord who conquered it for us. For us, death is an opportunity to confess the resurrection. It's an occasion to ponder the Lord who died and rose so that we might rise. We will not make funerals a celebration of life. We hate death. It's our enemy. But neither will we ignore it. Even though it brings tears, sadness, and pain, we grieve and we mourn because of sin. We deal with the reality that it is, that death is. But we are not afraid of it. For we are confident in the work of Christ. Death is a reality, but so also is the resurrection. It hurts when it comes. But the Lord's gentle touch and soft word promises a day of hope, joy, and glory. Two widows, two dead sons, two devastated mothers. But also two resurrections, two joyful reunions, two songs of praise. How we long for that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.